Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Creative thinkers from all around the country are coming to Bloomington Normal this weekend for RegiCon. It's a four-day celebration of creativity at Illinois State University, like if a comic book convention and an academic conference had a baby. WGLT's Ryan Denman speaks with organizer and ISU professor Scott Jordan and panelist Edsel Cintron Gonzalez about the convention. Jordan says they use pop culture vessels like comic books, video games, and horror movies to explore some very deep topics.
But the idea is to create these contexts in which we have what I'll call long-winded, sophisticated adult conversations about difficult topics. And then doing it with pop culture topics, pop culture media, pop culture artifacts, makes it a little safer and less personal a bit for people to talk about these things. Modeling that for the world right now is a big thing with me.
Okay, so RegiCon, four-day event. What are the sort of the marquee events, the things that the general public, our listening audience, might be most interested in?
Well, Saturday we have student creativity showcases. We have a digital music showcase in the old main room from 12 to 3. And then we have a games and comics showcase in the circus room from 12 to 3. Students will be showing the games they've created. And people are free from the public are free to come in and sit at a table and hear about what those games are, maybe even play. Amy Kurzweil is going to be doing a workshop, creating comics workshop. So those are just walk in, sample, figure it out. If you like it, stick around. If you don't, move on. Sunday is one of my favorite things. It's a 1 day conference called At the Ruins of Contemporary Culture. What will tomorrow's minds say about today's selves? And I just get together people that would never think they're coming together, pick a topic that we can all talk on, where we can kind of let down the barriers of our disciplinary uptightness and get involved in a conversation a little more free-flowing. And so I have comic artists, musicians, physicists, myself, whatever I am. Those are just going to be great conversations to have. There's a whole lot more. I'm sorry to everybody else who's going to be doing something that I left out.
So many of these sessions are sort of peeling back the layers of what many people consider to be pop culture. So, you know, yes. Video games, horror movies like The Thing, comics. Was this sort of academic approach to 20th, 21st century pop culture entertainment, was that always there in academia, or is that a newer development?
I suspect more academics find themselves going to Comic-Cons and such, doing panels. So there is a rise in that. Yet at the same time, I would just like to tell everybody, academia has been involved in understanding what we call pop culture now for a long time. Academics have been chewing on what culture is doing to keep itself together with printed and readable media since there's been academia, I think. And yes, there are more academics involved now in what we call pop culture than probably ever before.
Well, Edsel, let's bring you into this. So you're a PhD student in English at Illinois State University, and you're going to be on one of the panels during RegiCon about video game research. So tell us about that panel. What are you going to be talking about?
So I wanted to make a session that really touches on not only trending topics in video game studies, but also very interdisciplinary conversations that we're having about video games. For example, one of our panelists is going to talk about basically the importance of ADHD and autism in video games. Another panelist is going to talk about basically the importance of not only how video games can be a good resource to talk about climate change, climate disaster, and a whole bunch of important topics that are currently happening in the world right now, but how are video games providing that different narrative of what we consider ruins, post-apocalypse, and how are video games leading towards the future in terms of representing our dreams as humans, but also that desire of reality that we seek towards the world. And I think video games are a perfect space to explain that.
So during the panel, you're going to be presenting on this video game called Super Mario Sunshine. Our listeners can kind of think about any Mario game they might have seen, but put it on an island, you're spraying water around, you're saving the day like Mario always does. So by looking at the use of tools and game mechanics inside of that game, what can we learn about human behavior? What influences it? Why are you zeroing in on this game in particular?
I basically wanted to focus on some of the aspects of what made Super Mario Sunshine so unique in the franchise compared to other Super Mario games. And I also wanted to focus more on the importance of how can I apply important aspects of like socialization, while Mario's learning about the culture of the island. What information do we get by talking to the citizens of Isle Delfino, which usually when you're playing a video game, you don't really focus on talking to the other characters because the main focus is like going to each world, getting the sunshine, passing the level and move on. And that's it. And again, that was me for the longest time, just focusing on just passing the game and like gaining all the collectibles and anything that would require a gamer such as myself to be motivated to keep playing the game multiple times. But now as an adult, I was really interested more in depth on the kind of dialogue and conversations that the game offers that you usually don't focus or think about because it's not a requirement to pass the game. But it's interesting because when you hear the stories of the islanders saying that, you know, I can't grow crops because there's not enough sunshine, it's affecting my sales, I don't know how I'll make ends meet, you actually find out the human side that's being added towards that game. And you're realizing, oh my gosh, these people are suffering from financial instability. Their crops are dying. How are they going to sustain themselves? The tourism, how are people going to be attracted to the island, which is their main source of making money? And I identify a lot that it's an islander because I feel like a lot of people see Puerto Rico in that same state, that they want to visit the island, they want to enjoy a sense of paradise. But how can that happen when the entire land is being decimated because of the lack of sunshine? For the purpose of that research I was doing, I was really interested with how through a cultural historical activity theory, not only were the mechanics were really meaningful in Super Mario Sunshine, but also how me as a player got to know more of the severity and urgency of the climate catastrophe that was happening in Isle Delfino as I was talking to more of the islanders, as I was focusing more on the narrative and dialogue of the story.
Video games have made a kind of an interesting journey from, I mean, childish entertainment. I mean, tucked away in a corner of a mall in an arcade, really, when I was a kid, into the mainstream, sometimes very, very high-minded entertainment. Why do you think that evolution happened?
The advantage of a video game is that you're involved in what's happening at another level than simply watching a movie. So that kind of intentional self-engagement completely transforms the experience to be an inclusive narrative that you sort of jointly create with the programmers. That's a big rush.
That's Scott Jordan from ISU's Department of Psychology, one of the organizers of RegiCon. The four-day celebration of creativity is open to the public. Find a link to the schedule at WGLT.org. Jordan was joined in studio by RegiCon panelist Edsel Cintron-Gonzalez. They spoke with WGLT's Ryan Denham.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.